formation. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Texas is back. The kicker comes through.
We're back. Hello and welcome back to Fire Tom Herman, your overreactionary Texas Longhorns football fan podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here as always with Noah to talk to y'all about the Longhorns' upcoming game against the Rice Owls. While they are a G5 opponent, Rice is a team that is basically at this point a mainstay in the history books for Texas and an old Southwest Conference rival. So there's at least a little bit more intrigue, a little bit more on the line for historical reasons. Than our prior games the past few years against G5 opponents like Louisiana Tech, Tulsa, San Jose State, and the like. With that said, this Rice program has been kind of hurting the past few years, consistently being in the conversation for the worst team in the country. They haven't had a winning record since 2014, and the last 3 years they've won three or fewer games. And they've started this year on a bad note with a loss at Army, and then they got blown out last week at home against P5 Wake Forest. And now to make matters even worse for them, they lost their starting QB in the Wake Forest loss, so we're going to be facing their backup. Noah, before we really start breaking down this Rice team, what are you looking to see out of Texas, and what are a few storylines you want to keep your eye on throughout the game?
I think the biggest thing is just I'm looking for a bounce-back game, you know, and it should be easy enough to bounce back against Rice. So I'm hoping for all those things that we saw go wrong in the LSU to go right against Rice. This is just a nice game that sets up to really kind of hammer down some of those details, look for improvements, and then start off conference play, hopefully coming off on the right foot. And then beyond that, you know, you just got to hope to stay healthy.
Yeah, and speaking of staying healthy, really the only development as far as injuries are concerned for this team, Tom Herman announced that BJ Foster tweaked a hamstring, I believe it was. And he's going to be out for a few weeks. We'll miss this game for sure. Probably going to miss Oklahoma State. And then hopefully with the bye week after Oklahoma State, he'll be back for West Virginia. So that's going to see probably more DeMarvion Overshown. And with the way he's played, it would be not surprising to see more of Chris Brown. In addition, we still have the existing sort of cloud hanging over us of running back injuries. Daniel Young, Jordan Whittington, and Kirk Johnson all still out for this game. And for them, hopefully we might see Daniel Young possibly outside shot back for Oklahoma State, but otherwise you kind of got that West Virginia game circled as starting to get some running back depth back. So this will be the third game in a row of having Roschon Johnson as our number two tailback. And after what we saw in the LSU game, that doesn't seem like that big a deal, I guess.
No, I don't think it is. I honestly am comfortable with him at running back at this point I feel like every true freshman, for the most part, hits a wall at some point. So I think that until Roschon hits that wall, I'm fine with him being back there.
Yeah, let's sort of start talking about this Rice offense, really the whole Rice team. And not going to lie to you, we're kind of bullshitting on this because, shockingly, Rice is not a huge national player. So it's not easy to find a whole lot of information as far as what to expect out of them. I didn't really go back and rewatch anything other than more or less the scoring plays in each of their games. But the main thing I've picked up is they're not a spread team. So we're not going to see what we saw even out of Louisiana Tech or LSU. They're much more pro style due to their head coach's background.
Yeah, he used to be the offensive line coach, and I think he was the offensive coordinator at Stanford for a couple of years before taking the Rice job. So they're really going all in on the the nerd school approach. I mean, it's probably a good plan, but it's going to take some time for them to actually get there. And right now we've hit them in a spot where they haven't gone there yet. They're not very good, but they're definitely going to be the most traditional or pro style offense that we see this year, probably.
Yeah, and that'll hopefully take that approach will hopefully take a little bit of the weight off of our secondary a little bit. Gives Jalen Green, Kobe Boyce, Anthony Cook, Deshaun Jameson, sort of some time to hopefully at least get a little bit of confidence back, just be like, you can play basic fundamentals at a high enough level to be successful in this game. Also gives Todd Orlando an opportunity to sort of relax and help those guys out with the play calls that are being put in front of them, help them develop their weaknesses while also playing to their strengths. This isn't going to be a complicated offense just because of the rebuild that they're having to go through. and with that coach coming from Stanford, this is his second year there. So they're still early in this rebuild. That's going to take quite a while. So this is a good game for the defense to just get its confidence back. There's not a whole lot on Rice's offense to threaten them. So even just raw athleticism, we should be able to just sort of streamline, simplify, play very vanilla defense, and be very successful against this offense.
I think so. And also, I mean, Herman, since the LSU game, has made it pretty clear that he expects for some adjustments to be made in the defensive game planning and play calling. And so this is a good opportunity to just install those new things in practice this week and then get some live fire reps this weekend before taking on a more serious opponent. So at least we'll have some experience with some of that.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as being a not serious opponent, I want to not disrespect the team, but it's Rice's stat line and everything they've got going for them. It's just really hard to find positive things about them. Like this season, their offense has scored a total of 4 touchdowns. Only 3 of those came off of long drives, and one of those was off of just a freak 54-yard run against Army. Otherwise, they've really only had 2 sort of sustained touchdown drives that weren't just big plays or starting on short fields. And now with them missing their starting quarterback, they're down to their backup quarterback, who admittedly played pretty well while he was at Harvard last year, so he's not an idiot. Had 14 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions in 2018, but again, playing against Ivy League competition. He's not really a runner, so we don't have to worry about that aspect of it, albeit he did score one of the touchdowns that Rice has had this year on a run. So there's just not a whole lot. Even the running backs aren't that exciting.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're going to have 2 main running backs for this game, Aston Walter and Nashawn Ellerby. Ellerby had a good game against Army. He had the one with the long run and with over 100 yards on 9 carries. But honestly, it's hard to take away a lot from playing Army because it's a service academy. So, I mean, we can talk about it with their defense, but they held them to 14 points. But, like, what does that really mean whenever you're playing a triple option team, right? And we've seen Army have all sorts of scores against, like, Michigan this year, Oklahoma last year. They played Rice just as close as those 2 teams. So who knows? But the offense, I think that we can go ahead and, like, definitively conclude that they're not going to be that good. And hopefully the defense just doesn't give up any big plays, because that seems to be the one thing that Rice has been able to do this year in order to move the ball.
Yeah, and unfortunately for that secondary, even though I just got done talking about how it shouldn't be that difficult, probably Rice's best player, I think, is going to be wide receiver Austin Trammell. He's kind of a smaller guy, like 5'10", sort of the shifty wide receiver. But even still, I mean, there's just not a whole lot to be afraid of. Their top 2 wide receivers have like 7 and 8 catches on the entire year. And like a touchdown apiece. So it's sort of this relative scale. Their best player is their wide receiver, but that bar is a low bar to clear to really take it as much of a threat that their best player is out there.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the best of the bad. Although, I mean, he is a good player. We're not trying to be too mean here. It's just they aren't going to be able to really stack up against what is now a really good Texas team.
And then you move on to the other side of the ball. A lot of times when you see these teams that are pretty rough around the edges, you think one side of the ball is bad, one side of the ball they're at least respectable on. And in Rice's case, that absolutely does unfortunately not hold true for them. The defense is no more threatening than the offense is. I mean, to put it in perspective, Rice hasn't had a sack yet this year, which obviously is going to be hard with a service academy, but against Wake Forest, who is a run-pass option spread team, very much in the similar mold to what we've got going this year. Didn't manage a sack there. Haven't forced an interception. Again, service academy, so it's not like they're throwing the ball. But even still, the only times that they've really had any sort of impact, they've had 1 forced fumble and 3 pass breakups the entire season. Even last year, to give us a bigger sample size, their top pass rusher had 6 sacks. And admittedly, he's back this year in defensive end Anthony Ekpe. But 6 sacks last year was their number 1 guy. We had 2 guys in Charles Menehue and Gary Johnson who both had more than 6. And no one else on the Rice team had more than 2.5. So they had 16 total sacks all of last season. Gary Johnson and Charles Menehue alone accounted for 16 for Texas last year. Just to put into perspective. And we didn't have a great pass rush last
year. Yeah, that was going to be my point. Is like, we complain about our pass rush, but at least statistically, it's, you know, significantly better, and we have better pass rushers. But it is, it's kind of my understanding that XP is going to be a pretty important player for them on the line. I think they lose several starters off of last year's defensive line, and that line was kind of, even though it wasn't great at generating a pass rush, its ability to stop the run was one of their more redeeming qualities throughout the year. So I think that it's going to be kind of difficult for them having to adjust to losing several starters and possibly something that was kind of the strength of that defense.
Yeah, and with all that, Wake Forest, who has a decent offense, don't get me wrong, but is not exactly going to be a powerhouse this year in the ACC. They put up 513 yards last week by having the ball for less than 40% of the total game clock. And it wasn't just one thing. They had 312 yards passing, three touchdowns there, more than 200 yards rushing, and another two touchdowns there. And one of those runs was a 96-yarder. Like, Rice finally gets someone in a bad position, and they immediately blow it.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
it's those sort of things that makes it so tough and why this is going to be so challenging for their head coach on this rebuild. When you have little things like that, you get a team at their own 4-yard line, give you an opportunity to sort of pin your ears back and really attack while they're going to be pretty conservative so as to not accidentally turn the ball over close to the goal line. And you watch the running back just take off and find the other end zone that play.
Yeah, I would hate to see a team, you know, convert for a big play whenever their backs are up against the wall.
You got to be negative about it. Why you got to be negative? That was last week.
Yeah, no, sorry. I still haven't recovered, guys. I'm sorry.
you're still traumatized by the LSU game. I'm trying to respect this opponent here and not just worry about what happened last week. And you are killing me.
No, I do respect Rice. Like, it's not, we see all the time that schools can be taken to the distance by inferior competition, right? And so this is a sort of thing where you have to take this seriously. And it's actually something that we kind of should be watching for this game, is that this is, I'm not going to say this is a letdown game and that it's a game that we might lose if we don't prepare properly, you know, but it is something where we're hoping to see that consistently great play week in and week out. And so I'm hoping that next week we can really come out and from the very first snap really assert ourselves over Rice, because it's a matchup where we should be able to do that. And so I'm hoping that we'll actually see it and not, you know, like a Tulsa sort of game.
Yeah, definitely looking for sort of that progression that we showed against Louisiana Tech of not coming out down like we did the previous years under Herman, is continue that trend, show that when we play inferior competition, we put away the inferior competition. Don't even let Rice hang around to where it's like within a couple scores at halftime. Try and be up by 3 or 4 touchdowns by halftime. And really, this is one of those games where you're going to get the opportunity to get a lot of guys out there to play, as long as you do everything you need to do with the starters in the first half. So it's really about just not getting injuries and just executing at a high level for about half the game and then letting guys learn after that.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm expecting, for the limited time that I expect them to be out there, Sam Ellinger's going to have a good game. Devin Duvernay is going to have a good game. Brennan Eagles is going to have a good game. But this is an opportunity for those guys that who don't get involved a lot. Even if you're not looking to use one of those 4 games for the new freshmen, you can get guys in who have been part of the program but haven't seen snaps. So, like on the offensive line, you have like JP Urquidez. You have guys at wide receiver with Jordan Pouncey or Alvante Woodard. Give guys like Malcolm Epps an opportunity to get some confidence with their physicality against a guy they should just be able to beat the hell out of.
Yeah, even
hell, if we had full linebacker depth, I'd say this is the type of game where you'd want to see Kirk Johnson have a big game.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean the guy that is a starter that I would love to see get some run is Keontae Ingram, because I want to see him build up that confidence again after it seemed to kind of get away from him against LSU. And then you mentioned it, but getting some of our young offensive linemen some reps would go a long way for their long-term development. So I'd love to see the backup.
Yeah, it would be kind of fun to get like the true freshmen, like your Javon Shepherds and your Tyler Johnsons some chances to get out there and dip their toes into the water, especially with a crowd that's going to be pretty pro Texas, despite being a quote unquote home game for Rice. I mean, it's as easy as it's going to get to sort of introduce those guys to a real live Division I college football game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to your point with Keontae Ingram, I think him and Roschon Johnson are the two guys that doesn't matter what the score is, we simply don't have the running back depth for them to not see a lot of snaps, even if it is a blowout. So Keontae Ingram, I imagine he's going to be lingering no matter what, probably into the third quarter. I don't think we're ever going to hand the ball to David Benda. I don't think Tom Herman ever really has any intention of doing that in like any blowout fashion. We're not trying to get him reps at running back. He's there for emergencies. But it wouldn't surprise me to see the walk-on, what's his name, Mason Ramirez or something like that. He'll probably get a decent chunk of snaps in the second half. So maybe he can get in the end zone. We can have sort of a feel-good story to talk about, just to give us something to talk about on next week's podcast.
Right, that will be actually pretty interesting to see how, you know, how at what point they're willing to call it a game for Ingram. What if they keep Johnson there? I kind of think they will because he's like he's a young guy. He could use the reps, right? But I mean, I'd love to see Benda back there. it'd be cool if Benda got to play both ways, actually. Probably won't happen, it'd be cool.
Yeah, you don't want to, I think the coaches would be in that sort of mindset of you don't want to risk burning one of his four games to preserve his red shirt.
That's true.
On sort of a throwaway like that. So that's the only reason I think we wouldn't see him, if, especially with the sort of depth that we have at linebacker long term, you don't want to waste that year of development trying to have the kid play in blowout games as an emergency running back. To get into something a little more fun, Rice actually does have a pretty good showing as far as all name team candidates. So we've got a few good ones to share with you. I got a list of six of them right there. So which one do you like best of those ones that I pulled off the depth chart?
Well, my first pick, I'm taking Jaeger Bull. He's a tight end. We didn't really talk much about their tight ends, but what more do you need to say about Jaeger Bull? Either name could qualify, right? Like Bull at a tight end, one of those big man spots. And then Jaeger, I don't know. There's going to be plenty of Jaegerbomb, Jaegermeister references out there. Take your pick.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Rice fans who probably have so many Jaegerbomb memes set up. They just need this offense to get this kid the ball in the end zone. On defense, we've got their weak side linebacker, Blaze Aldridge. We got a Smoke Harris against Louisiana Tech. Now we've got a Blaze Aldridge against Rice. So there's sort of a fire theme going in the G5 this year.
Yep. To kick off the second round, I'm going to take their wide receiver, August Petre III. And I don't know, any name that has a, if you're the third or fourth in your lineage, you're getting bonus points. And then August is just a pretty unique name. It's my birth month, so I'm taking him.
That's as good a reason as any. I'm going to take right tackle Justin Gooseberry. There's just something about Gooseberry. I don't know. You can't not like that.
Yeah, and then lastly, I'll go with DeBraylon Carroll, my last pick. I'm just kind of partial to those apostrophe names. And so, yeah, it kind of brings me back to the DeBrickashaw Ferguson day. that's a classic all-name team, yeah. So DeBraylon, I guess, I mean, he's not paying homage with his name, but I'll just pretend that he is.
And then finally, got a guy who is playing really sort of a dying position, at least according to the internet. He's playing this position. He might actually sort of slot in more as an H-back or another tight end. But he's fullback Brendan Suckley, who was absolutely bullied for his last name as a child.
Yeah, but apparently he's a D1 fullback. So hopefully he was able to stick up for himself.
Seems to have turned out all right. But I'm pretty sure those people probably still talk shit about him.
Yeah, just not to his
just
face.
Just because he's at Rice. Not to his face, but they definitely do it when they watch him on TV and watch Rice struggle. With that, let's move on those score predictions. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like you're going to pick Texas losing here, but what do you think the score is going to be? Spread is 31.5 in favor of Texas.
Yeah, this game is kind of Texas versus the spread, and I'm taking Texas. So my score prediction, 63-10. I honestly can't even, like, off the top of my head, recall the last time we scored 60 points in a game. So I feel like this is kind of going out on a limb. But I just think that Last week we saw some developments with the offense, spreading it out a little bit more, attacking vertically a little bit more, and those sorts of things could kind of predispose us to some of these higher scoring, like lower tier games that we see powerhouses like Maryland putting up these days.
Mm-hmm. For me, I'm going 52-14 Texas. I think at least one of those touchdowns from Rice comes in garbage time. I don't think it's ever something where we're going to feel really threatened. I'm sure there'll be people upset if we don't score every single one of our first five drives. But, I mean, this game is going to be well in hand. And I think that'll make it fun for our next segment here, the hot takes of the week. Got to reach a little bit because at this point it seems like most things that we could say would not seem too ridiculous to predict. But, Noah, what's your hot take for this week?
Yeah, my hot take is, I mean, it's hot until you think about it, then it gets pretty mild, but I think it's a pretty cool thing. So I think that Sam Ellinger will pass up Vince Young on the all-time career passing yards list by halftime of this game. He's currently 156 behind Vince, and if he does it, then he'll move to number 6 all-time at the University of Texas, and so I think that's just pretty neat. And so, yeah, I'm going with halftime just to at least make it somewhat possible to not happen.
Yeah, try and give it a scenario where it doesn't occur. Gotta make it a little challenge for Sam.
Yeah,
for me, similar to I'm sort of sticking along the same lines with Sam Ellinger, but I'm actually taking it the other direction. I'm going with Casey Thompson accounts for more of Texas's total yards than Sam Ellinger does this game, which basically means not only is Casey Thompson going to get in early, but we're really going to try and open up the playbook, give him a chance to not just hand the ball off and run clock, but really give him an opportunity to show what he is capable of in the passing game, even if he's not going to have all the same weapons that Sam does. See him try and distribute the ball to Jordan Pouncey, to Malcolm Epps, to those tight ends who really haven't seen the ball much with Cade Brewer and Reese Littau. So I think they'll open it up, give Casey Thompson a chance to shine, and wouldn't surprise me to see him break something big with his speed as a runner.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think there's a good chance that he takes off for 40 yards at some point. And so if it's a yards race between him and Sam, then that's definitely an advantage that he has.
Well, it seems like we're basically in agreement. This is going to be a pretty not stressful game. What should be an easy win for Texas. As long as we come out of this game really without racking up further injuries right before Oklahoma State, I think I'm going to consider anything else that happens just gravy. No injuries. I'd like to see Sam keep going with his lack of interceptions. And really, other than that, just get the win, and anything else that happens is happens, I guess.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself. Just get the win, stay healthy, get ready for next week.
And speaking of next week, we will see you guys next week with our breakdown of the Rice game and then also the Oklahoma State preview. Hook 'em.